And now the game where we ask people who've done amazing things about some not so amazing things. It's called Not My Job. So when he was a young man, Lars Ulrich was a top tennis player in his native Denmark and dreamed of going pro. But when he moved to Los Angeles, he discovered he wasn't going to make it. So he settled for becoming a drummer, and with James Hetfield founded one of the greatest bands of all time, Metallica. He joins us now, Lars Ulrich. Welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you. Thank you.
So is that true that you grew up playing tennis? That was your first passion, right?
Yes, my dad was a professional tennis player, so I grew up on the tennis tour. Yeah. And there aren't many tennis players in Denmark, and I was ranked in the top 10 in most of the age groups.
Right.
So when we moved to Los Angeles after I finished school in Denmark, I wasn't ranked in the top 10 on the street that I lived on.
Yeah. And, I love the fact that your birth as a rock and roll legend came out of bitter disappointment.
Bitter disappointment. Well, listen, it wasn't a hard switch to make. I was 16 and out of my first beer and looking at girls differently and all that, so making the transition to rock and roll wasn't a difficult thing.
It wasn't a hard thing. But really, yeah. I mean, sometimes when you're playing with Metallica in front of, like, enormous sports stadiums filled with 40,000 people, do you go, yeah, it's nice, it's not tennis?
That doesn't happen often, though.
How did you come up with the name Metallica for your band?
Well, I came up here actually in the spring of 1981 and ended up at a kegger over on Strawberry Hill. And I met a bunch of really cool San Francisco kids. One of them was named Ron. And he told me he wanted to start his own fanzine, like a hard rock fanzine where he wrote about all his favorite bands. And he asked me whether he should call the fanzine Metallica or Metal Mania. So I suggested that he call it Metal Mania.
Really?
Yeah. Is Ron the guy sharpening a knife outside the theater?
Yes, he's. I have to make a quick getaway out through that door.
This is a tough question to ask anybody, but I'm going to do it anyway. Metallica, once you founded it and your records came out in the late 80s, early 90s, you became the biggest metal band, if not the biggest hard rock band of all time. Can you explain why, what it was about your band and your sound?
Other than our good looks?
Yeah, basically. Well, that's a given.
Yeah. We were really inspired by what was going on in Europe at the time.
Yeah.
So we took those European influences and kind of had a new sound. And so when you say, why did we end up becoming more well-known or whatever, it was because we had a different sound than most of what was going on in California and in the States at the time.
Everybody says the same thing, everybody, that they use Metallica music to get pumped up. Like, so many athletes use Metallica music as their entrance music. So many people play Metallica music through their headphones when they're in the gym. So what do you, Lars Ulrich, use when you want to get pumped up? 40,000 people in these huge arenas you've played, and you need to, like, get them going. How do you get yourself going first?
We warm up. We sort of get stretched, and we get strange oils rubbed into our shoulders. It's kind of nasty, to be honest with you. There's a few too many protein shakes back there, and this is back in the bowels of the stadium that we're playing in. And then we go into what's called a tune-up room, and I play for about half an hour and warm up on an actual drum kit.
There you go. You are a knight.
In Denmark, they use a different term, but the English equivalent would be a knight. Yes, a few months ago, the Royal Crown Prince of Denmark was in town. There was a conference of Danish business leaders, you know, the Legos of the world, the Bang & Olufsen, the Maersks, and all the other leading Danish companies. They were all over in Sausalito at Kamala Point, and I was invited to join the festivities, and there was a dinner, and I showed up to that and got ambushed. His Royal Highness stood up and started talking about a particular person in the room who had talents far and above most other people in Denmark, and I was sitting there going,
"But not for tennis."
Who the hell is he talking about? And about 5 or 10 minutes later, I realized that he was talking about me. And in the middle of that whole speech, he pulled out a cross. It's called a ridderkors in Danish, which translates to something like a riding cross. It involves like horses and swords and that kind of stuff. And then I stood up, and he put it on me, and I was a knight. There was no sword involved, and there was no kneeling involved, thankfully.
Yeah.
But Denmark is a very informal country, and so it was done as informal as Danish traditions are. But yes, that's a true story.
Well, what is? So
Wait till you find out you're only the 10th best knight on your street.
Well, Lars Ulrich, we are delighted to talk to you. We have invited you here to play a game we're calling...
You want to put your hand up where?
So...
Okay.
Metallica is known, among other things, for their celebrated album, Master of Puppets. So we thought we'd ask you some questions about your colleagues, other puppet masters.
Okay.
Answer two out of three questions, and you'll win a prize for one of our listeners, the voice of Carl Castle. Bill, who is Lars Ulrich playing for?
Tracy Walker of San Francisco, California.
Where's Tracy? Okay, Lars, here's your first question. Puppets can be really helpful, as in which of these? A, a company in Switzerland makes a life-sized parent puppet for new drivers who want to feel like there's still an adult in the car. B, Kansas City Chief Safety Eric Berry, who was terrified of the team mascot, a horse, so he got used to it by practicing with a horse puppet. Or C, to avoid exposing their officers, St. Louis police drive up to drug corners, crouching down, and they use puppets to make drug buys through the window.
So one of those three
is true.
One of those is true.
Helpful use of a puppet.
I'd go with A.
You're gonna go with A, the life-size parent puppet, so you can even if you're driving on your own, you can still feel like mom or dad is there.
Yeah. Oh, that's good for the carpool lane.
Yeah,
also.
That's true. Yeah.
I don't think it's true.
Why don't you think it's true, mom?
Because of your reaction. You're gonna go with that.
Oh.
What do you guys think? I'm going to have to stick with A because I don't want to go back on what I said, so
I'll go with A. The answer is B, in fact. The
what?
One that you just missed. They were right.
Jesus.
It's true. Football player Eric Berry suffers from equinophobia, an irrational fear of horses, and among the many things he has done to try to accustom himself is to talk to a little horse puppet. It is absolutely cute. You can see it online.
Are you guys not supposed to help me?
We tried.
Okay, next question. Puppets have played a role in politics as in which of these? A, to answer charges that he was a puppet of the Koch brothers, Congressman Ron Estes ran a commercial with a puppet and the slogan, "Hey, puppets can be great." B, in order to do two public appearances in one night, California Governor Jerry Brown sent a puppet of himself to the other venue to lip-sync a live feed of his remarks. Or
it's
C, in 2010, Arizona Governor Jan Brewer used a singing frog puppet to sing the praises of her Show Us Your Papers anti-immigration law.
Oh, so it would have to be A or C, right? C, is that what, should we go C? What do you guys think, C?
Oh, they're split.
It's
go with your gut, Lars.
My gut says C.
It is, in fact, C.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
In response to criticism that she was cracking down too harshly on immigrants, Governor Brewer had a puppet tell everybody it was just fine, really. Last question. If you get this, you win. Here we go.
Okay.
Puppets have caused controversy when which of these happened? A, a ventriloquist dummy was arrested in Boston, but not the ventriloquist, on obscenity charges. B, a billboard for the puppet show Avenue Q in Colorado Springs was censored because of, quote, puppet cleavage. Or C, Outback Steakhouse tried an anti-vegetarian ad campaign, which featured a puppet called Cecil the Humorless Vegan.
B? You look like you know B, okay.
All right, you're gonna go for B? Puppet cleavage?
B, absolutely, yeah.
You're right, it was the puppet cleavage.
All right.
Thank you. Now, okay. To be fair to the, shocked people of Colorado Springs, the puppet was called Lucy the Slut, so. All right, Bill, how did Lars do in our quiz?
2 out of 3.
All right, then.
You got it. Congratulations, Lars Ulrich. Lars Ulrich is the founder and drummer of Metallica. Their newest album is Hardwired to Self-Destruct. The band's on tour. Lars Ulrich, thank you for being here. Our way, wait, don't tell me.